schedule today. So, Alex, thank you for joining.
Hello, Todd.
Hi. I have a video when you're ready, and I have slides when you're ready. So, my question to you is, Fedorov was removed as defense minister. What does that mean? What's happening on the front? I'm sure we'll get through all of this, but I'll turn it over to you and let you tell the audience what you want to.
Well, I have some pictures about Fedorov and the video of Fedorov as an answer for your questions. I think after looking at this situation during the week, I think that Fedorov and Zelensky parted the ways and had a conflict because of the money. So let's take a look at this hypothesis on the slides.
Okay, I'm bringing that up. There you go.
All right. So the new budget has been approved, and the news are that Ukraine received additional $72 billion as a guarantee of financing for next year. Let's go to the next slide. The text is small, but let me comment, and I think you can post this PDF on your website after so people can read it. Well, the economy is in a collapsed form. 45% of deficit in liquidity as a proportion or as a ratio to estimated GDP of approximately 200 billion. I personally do not believe in GDP of 200 billion. Why? Because the government of Ukraine falsified statistics before the war, and these statistics were falsified approximately 20-25% on the GDP level, but they could not falsify incoming statistics. And I have a personal ratio that is very simple for Ukrainian economy. Anytime metallurgical and coal production drops 2%, the GDP drops 1%. So this is approximate ratio. So that means that the metallurgical and coal production in Ukraine dropped 90%, thus the GDP dropped 45-50% in comparison to what GDP was before the war. And before the war, the GDP was around 180. So you just simply divide by two to get the rough idea that the GDP right now is approximately around $100-110 billion, and not 200 as what they report. So they calculate that the budget deficit, when they say budget deficit, it means that the money which the Minister of Finance has at the end of the month. And I had a meeting with the Minister of Finance before the war. And before the war, he told me that every day he had a liquidity deficit of $5-10 million every day. And in the first year of war, Minister of Finance reported that he had a budget deficit of $2 billion at the end of the year. So that comes up to $24 billion per year. Right now, they report that the budget deficit is 45% of 45% of inflated statistical GDP. And that means that they have a budget deficit of $75 billion. So the budget deficit increased three times in comparison to what it was 3 years ago. And this tells me a very simple math. Three consecutive years, the Minister of Finance reports $24, $25, and $26 billion for the war. So if they have a budget deficit of $75 billion, that means that they still report $26, 20 something billion dollars to as expenses for the war, and the rest budget deficit around $50 billion is what they steal per year. Otherwise, they would not have this liquidity gap. This is the simple math. I'm concluding right now for your listeners as simple as possible based on three numbers. And if you want to get more in depth, just read this little resume on this slide. Those numbers are not mine. I took it from the economical analyst, but you will get the idea. Some things from this slide. They report statistical inflation of 9.6%. This is bullshit. I compared. I have my friends in Kyiv and in some other cities in Ukraine. We compared the price of oil, butter, eggs, milk, flour, sugar, meat. The meat in Ukraine right now is more expensive than in Washington, in New York, and Miami. Butter is more expensive. Milk is more expensive than in Target. The milk in Target is what? $2.5 per gallon? The milk is two times more expensive in Ukraine, which used to be an agrarian country.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of inflation of 10% are you talking about? The NBU and Minister of Finance, they falsified the numbers to cover $50 billion of money laundering per year. And this money laundering per year of $50 billion, what they report as the liquidity gap, is being formed through the money which is being financed from the European Union funds and grants, kicked back to the sources of financing in European Union. Otherwise, there is no rational explanation why would any politician in European Union would simply gift $72 billion per year. There is no rational explanation. Irrational explanation, they get a kickback and they allow Zelensky and Fedorov and Marchenko and the Minister of Finance and NBO of Ukraine launder the money for them, citing and justifying that the war is going on. But the Minister of Finance, I'm telling you one more time, Minister of Finance reported $24 billion for the war expenses in 2024, $25 billion for war-related expenses in 2025. And I guess in 2026, they have $26 billion to report.
Mm-hmm.
So it's $2 billion per month for war expenses. The rest is laundered. Okay, let's go to the
point. So you're saying that Fedorov, the defense minister, was kicked out over squabbles over the money. It's like two mafiosos, working the turf. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it is. Let's take a look at some other pictures for this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next slide. Fedorov and Zay in conflict. So there's just yesterday, the former deputy of the parliament of Ukraine, Masichuk, he is a kind of useful idiot and a grifter, but he has his contacts in SBU. So only few people in Ukraine can be clean or assess it as clean. Mm-hmm. Todd, we had a conversation with you on that. So the guy who reports right now on the slide, he's a psycho. Mm-hmm. And he's a Nazi, and he's a grifter, and he grifts with Security Service of Ukraine, SBU. So, mm-hmm. His reporting is usually on point because he has his contacts in SBU of Ukraine. So he reported, take a look on the screen, that Fedorov has been caught by some people in the Security Service of Ukraine for lobbying for Russian online casino. Well, let me tell you the back of the story, what's behind the story. It's not only Russian online casino. Ukraine right now is estimated as the largest provider of online casino fraud in the world and call center fraud. Fedorov and SBU provided a roof for online casinos from various countries outside of Ukraine. And they also frauded estimated $500 million from citizens of Europe and the United States. So $500 million were divided among people in the government. Zelensky is a close friend of Fedor and Zelensky, Mrs. Zelensky, they are family members. And some people in SBU for protection and roof.
Yeah.
Take a look. And
it's a mafia state using the war to like build wealth.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Call centers, online casinos, and they laundered $70 million just recently. Take a look.
Mm-hmm. Next slide.
$70 million is recently. So $500 million estimated money laundering on call centers and casinos per year. Let's go to the next slide. Today, there was a celebration in Kyiv. Yes. Ursula came... some presidents of Eastern European countries came, and Zelensky had a speech, and he said, Fyodor will remain in my team, he's my friend. And we fight for freedom and democracy. Well, anything Zelensky says on those speeches has been written by shysters.
Yeah.
And look at what they're doing, not at what they're saying. So he's covering everything in smoke. Let's take a look at the next slide. Then further when conflict over politics and money in the funds, Zelensky and Zelenska, Yelena, Olena Zelenska, promised wife of Fedorov and Fedorov himself, because they are family members, kind of, that Fedorov would become a prime minister. And Zelensky decided to have a puppet prime minister, Kerensky, who was the money launderer, head of Naftogaz in Ukraine. So let's take a look at the next slide. And all this change also involves the change of some other ministers. So for example, this person on the screen is Klimenko. He's a criminal policeman, a money launderer in the police. And he's in contact with criminal Hasid organizations in Ukraine also. Mm-hmm. And they tried to implement like exchange of ministers, move some minister from one position to another position, but keeping them as ministers. So let's take a look at the next slide. And so further, it was a plan of Zelensky and Zelenska to appoint Fedorov as a prime minister. And they tried to justify Fedorov with Trump administration, Vance and Rubio. Vance, Trump and Rubio did not approve Fedorov because apparently they had some dossier on Fedorov. Mm-hmm. And that's why it dragged for several months. And apparently it reached some point of conflict when Fedorov demanded the voting for the new cabinet of minister, and Zelensky decided to drop him. And on the picture here, you see that Fedorov is not in the roster of new ministers. So it was like a lie from Zelensky onto his ally, Fedorov, because Zelensky, they are friends like a family.
But what about all these protests in Kyiv? Is this just a theater or are people misled or what?
I think people are misled. And I would like to take a look at some of these people in this roster. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at the next slide. Mm-hmm. This roster of people, I know some of those people, because I observed them in business and in their political agenda and decisions, and some of those people are not well known to the public in Ukraine, but majority of the people you see on the screen are basically corruptioners, like Shmigal is a corruptioner, Klimenko corruptioner, Marchenko is a corruptioner, Ljashko is a corruptioner. Grifter, for example, Kravchenko from McKinsey is a grifter because he sells his services to state-owned companies. For example, Sibiga, the Minister of Justice, he's a contrabandist and a corruptioner. And Some other people are just simply useful idiots. You can you can call them like this. Next slide. And Sergei Koretsky, or the man on the right in the middle, this guy in glasses in the middle and the right, will be is appointed a prime minister instead of Fedorov. So there's a conflict of Zelensky and Fedorov, apparently, because Zelensky decided to appoint Koretsky. Koretsky is a grifter, corruptioner from the benzene and oil trading company called Continuum, which is, which was a contrabanda-based company roofed by the SBU of Ukraine. Koretsky was appointed to launder the money instead of Kolomoisky in Ukrnafta. And based on the paper, they made Ukrnafta profitable, but those are inflated numbers. And they basically laundered the money through Ukrnafta. And Ukrnafta was a state-owned company. And then, based on his money laundering in Ukrnafta, he was moved into Naftogaz. And he apparently laundered some good amount of money in Naftogaz. And because Kolomoisky were removed from Ukrnafta and Vitrenko were removed from Naftogaz, that allowed to transfer the money laundering channels from Kolomoisky, Vitrenko mafia, and some American observing mafia in Naftogaz to Zelensky. So Zelensky controls Naftogaz corporation like ultimate beneficiary owner. And that's why apparently Sergei Koretsky provided really good amount of money for Zelensky. And my guess, this is, I cannot prove it right now, so this is my hypothesis, looking at all this movements of political figures. My understanding is that Fedorov, please move to the next slide. My understanding is that, where's another slide?
Go to the next one.
Click one more.
Actually, that's it. That's the last one.
Where's the slides about...
I don't know.
Could you please move to slide number five?
Yes.
Slide number five. This one. So my hypothesis is that Fedorov and Zelensky oversaw United 24 Fund, and I had some reports 2 years ago that Fedorov and Zelensky and Zelensky himself classified any money cash flow coming through the United 24 fund. And you can see on the picture right there in the middle that this fund collected $3 billion something, 3.6. Can you see it in the middle? On the black area. So my guess is that there was a conflict over the money in this particular fund. Then there was a conflict on the money channeling from the Minister of Defense, because Fedorov was a Minister of Defense, and he controlled call centers, casinos, and he controlled the drones.
Divorce is tough, but your finances don't have to be. I'm David Cross, and I'm a certified divorce financial analyst practitioner. My job is to help you get a fair financial settlement in your divorce and to guide you to smarter money decisions. Find out how we can help you. U.S. Asset Management, it's your money and your future.
Through the pandemic, we can never be caught unprepared again. And so many Americans, when COVID hit, they had nothing in the house. Stores were shut down, and doctors' offices were shut down, and even if doctors prescribed drugs, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, pharmacists wouldn't fill the prescriptions. That was a nightmare.
Now the situation is much worse. We have these horrible supply chain problems. In our emergency medical kit at the wellness company, we have 8 prescription drugs that are all potentially life-saving.
Most people died with COVID. They died in the hospital because they didn't receive early treatment.
Every American family should have one of these.
I can tell you the Wellness Company Kit is the answer.
Money laundering via the drone purchases to Ukraine. And Fedor also controlled the money coming laundered from United 24 with Zelenska. So the money which came to United 24 were sent by all embassies of Ukraine in the world to classified account in the National Bank of Ukraine. And the disbursements and the spending out of this account are classified and nobody can look at those. So they report $3 billion collected, but they do not report the spending. So my hypothesis is that Fedorov and Zelensky parted ways because they could not agree on division of money channels in those five areas of money laundering. And Fedorov had his ambition to become a prime minister. And there were some other conflicts with some other ministers. But at the last week, Zelensky made a decision to get rid of Fedorov, stop his involvement in the money laundering in the Ministry of Defense. And that's why there's this movement with the SBU issuing suspicions and probably preparing to arrest Fedorov. We may see this week. And Zelensky probably decided to cut his family friendship with Fedorov. This is the movement I see, and this is what I observe. Of course, I cannot prove the numbers on the money laundering because right now I don't have access to the classified information. If I would have, most probably this overview would be backed by some hard numbers and by money laundering schematics. I'm like 99% sure I can prove it.
Amazing analysis. You're not going to get that anywhere else. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
What about the video? Do you want to show that?
Yeah, let's take a look at the video. So on this video, let's take a look at this video and then I will translate what he's talking about. This is a recent video from today. Fedorov started his presidential campaign against Zelensky.
So that is what is happening. Is there going to be a power change? Zelensky's pretty, he's a dictator, right? So how, he wouldn't
allow? He's a dictator. He appointed puppet ministers, grifters who will share the proceeds from money laundering on the liquidity gaps created by the government. So all those ministers I showed you on the picture, they're appointed because they have agreed to cut the share of money laundered for Zelensky himself. There is no other way. And yesterday I also saw the article that Karetsky paid a lot of money to become a prime minister. And he promised Zelensky to launder the money. Let's take a look at the video from Fedorov.
I will, but it will be very interesting to see who in the U.S. is involved, because we have the same system where money goes missing. They can't, you know, match up the budgets in the Pentagon, et cetera, trillions missing. And yet Congress gets richer and richer. So I think the same thing is going on in the U.S. And it's probably tied to this. But here's the video.
Це ізоляція та токсикація тих, хто розвивається. В тебе виходить красава, відстійник. Драпатий, третя догана, до побачення. Вибачте, драпатий, думаю, вам після цього виступу буде четверта догана. Не хотілося б цього зробити, але в нас вже немає виходу про це не говорити. Тобто, якщо людина щось здається, лазер в повітряних силах, окей, не будемо два місяці давати тобі підписувати якогось командувача. Не будемо давати розподіл. Давайте проведемо навчання.
Okay, we don't speak Ukrainian, so tell us what you said.
Yeah, could you please open the video and just pause on seconds.
Для того, щоб ти займався бюрократ, цього
виступу. Just pause here. Pause here. So what he's talking about? He's talking about he decided to go how do you call it he decided to come out, he's an insider of the government and tell the truth what's going on in the government. And he's talking about he prepared some slides, and you can see that the bullet points to talk about that the army fights on tactical level, but not on the strategic level. They broke the brigades and corps. They supplied the army not through the corps or logistical proper logistical channels, but by private contracts. Then they isolate and toxify those commanders who try to develop as military commanders. Nobody responds on anything. The bullet point just across his head on the right. Nobody is responsible for anything, and everybody tries to cover their asses and citing people above their heads. There's always a project of disposable heroes. If anybody opens a mouth, next day he's arrested, thrown into detention, or fired from the military or from the government. He's talking about the Vietnamization. Vietnamization, so it's like taking wars from North Korea and Vietnam practices and implementing those approaches in Ukrainian government. He also decided to speak about blocking on the bottom. There's a bullet point that he's talking about blocking initiatives for development and cleaning the government. And I cannot see really clearly, but I think his T-shirt is a United 24 T-shirt, because this is his kind of baby project. I think it's United 24. I cannot see. It resembles me that. Also, Fyodorov, there was a meeting pro Fyodorov in the morning yesterday and today. And people shouted that, let's change Sirsky, not Fyodorov. Fyodorov is good. So I think that meeting was paid.
I saw that everywhere.
With this particular public speech of Fyodorov, where he accuses the government and ministers and Sirsky, he accuses Sirsky, Commander Sirsky, that the army is not being managed in a proper way. I think Fyodorov decided to go against Zelensky and Sirsky. So there's a personal conflict, money conflict, and Fyodorov has started his presidential campaign against Zelensky.
So Zelensky is going to have to arrest him, right?
Yes, I think in today, tomorrow, I mean this week, we will see some movement from the SBU, Secret Service of Ukraine, to arrest Fyodorov, or even they might kill him. I mean, his words, what he's speaking about right here on the screen, people in Ukraine get killed for saying less.
Yeah.
But Fyodorov went open, like he went berserk on Zelensky and Sirsky in his speech.
So he's counting on maybe the public uprising or something, which we'll see.
Yes, or he has some backup from Secret Service from some other country outside of Ukraine, or he has been promised that if he opens his mouth, he will be covered by some, I don't know, Secret Service or security service.
Maybe the Matrix wants, you know, somebody else besides Zelensky, who will try to make peace, maybe. I don't know. But it's fascinating to watch, my friend. Anything else?
This is it. I have one slide about the situation on the battlefield, so you can open that.
Was that in the same deck?
Yeah, in the PDF.
There was no more.
Yeah, the last slide with the PDF.
This one? Okay.
Yeah, this one. Yes. So the Russian army is advancing. So Konstantinovka, just on the bottom of the circle, Konstantinovka has been lost. I found some estimation that 40,000 Ukrainians were lost in the Battle of Konstantinovka. Mm-hmm. And I found that the information that Russian troops entered Konstantinovka in February, and mm-hmm. they controlled half of Konstantinovka for several months. And just 1 month ago, they took over Konstantinovka. And Sirsky and Zelensky do not accept that Konstantinovka was lost, and they do not report that 40,000 people were dead. And I also found the news and that Putin suggested to stop fighting in Konstantinovka for 1 day, so Ukrainian medical brigades would go onto the battlefield and simply gather the dead bodies. Mm-hmm. And the Ukrainian government answered Putin. Putin suggested this. I mean, this was not a suggestion from a tactical general or brigade. Mm-hmm. Brigade general. It was like, I mean, probably the quantity of bodies in Konstantinovka fields were so large that the generals of Russia reported up to Putin. Normally, traditionally, Putin did not involve in any of those tactical mm-hmm. conversations. And Putin said that stop the fighting for 1 day and to gather the bodies. And Ukrainian government decided not to stop the fighting and said, we don't need those bodies.
Mm-hmm. Because they don't want to pay the money, and they don't want people to know.
Correct? Yes, exactly. They will classify all those 40,000 people dead as missing in action. Yeah. And if a body is missing in action, not returned to the family is not entitled to 15 million hryvnia of payment from the government. So that's why Zelensky and some generals in Zelensky clique will pocket millions of dollars, because they will create fake dead bodies roster. They will provide financing for this, and they will hide this financing, because there will be no families to pay, because they classify all those dead bodies as missing in action. They're simply like dead bodies. Imagine this happening in the United States, when the United States would say, we don't need dead bodies.
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
So amazing. I do not understand the motivation of Ukrainian soldiers to fight for those cities in Druzhkovka, Kramatorsk, Slavyansk, because even before the war, the citizens of those cities were taken as hostages by the oligarch bandits in those cities. For example, mm-hmm. Akhmetov controlled all factories in Kramatorsk, and he paid $400-$500 as a salary to people to work in Kramatorsk. So people who lived in Kramatorsk, they could not leave Kramatorsk because they could not afford to buy tickets to get out of Kramatorsk. Yeah. So in my understanding of expenses, they could not save enough to make a deposit to afford relocating their families out of Kramatorsk. So they have been taken as hostages with their families tied to those factories. And same in Slavyansk, same in Druzhkovka, same in Konstantinovka. Akhmetov simply was a modern slave owner.
Mm-hmm.
And based on this picture, this is today's picture of this military map. And you can see that there's a cauldron forming, which means that Russian forces utilize the same old Soviet Union technique to form scissors and then click on those scissors in 2-3 ways, form smaller cauldrons and close the territory.
Yeah.
So the Kramatorsk is under attack already with Cab and Fab bombs. Those are like self-guided bombs. And today in the morning, the largest warehouse and hub of Nova Poshta, the post office, was attacked by Cab. And that means that the logistics will be stopped to Kramatorsk in several days. When the logistics stop, and when the food stops and the warehousing stops, that means this is the beginning when citizens will leave the city. Some people, of course, will stay in the city, but that means the more people will leave the city, the more buildings will be vacated. Some of those buildings vacated will be occupied by Ukrainian artillery and snipers. Mm-hmm. And that's why when the artillery comes into civil districts, Russian forces will get attacked from civil buildings, because the artillery will be located in civil buildings, districts, and they will barrage the civil building. Yeah. So that's why next week, in 2 weeks, we will see that Russian forces will attack, barrage with CAB, FAB bombs, self-guided munitions, and artillery munitions. They will level Druzhkovka, Kramatorsk, and Slavyansk. Syrsky doesn't order to surrender or to withdraw, they will bury 40,000 more people for each of those cities. So right now there are estimated 120,000-140,000 people defending Slavyansk, Kramatorsk, and Druzhkovka. So guess what? The math is very simple. They lost 40,000 people in Konstantinovka. So calculate Druzhkovka, 20,000-30,000 people defending Druzhkovka, 40,000 for Kramatorsk, 40,000 for Slavyansk. 40, 30, 120. So my estimation is that 120, I don't have the exact numbers, but this is my understanding. Mm-hmm. If they do not offer to withdraw 100,000 people, they will get bombed.
So it makes perfect sense, though, if your goal is to depopulate the Christian population of Ukraine.
Yes.
It makes perfect sense. I mean, it's mass murder, it's ethnocide, it's human sacrifice, it's you know, massaging the human population for your own evil ends. I mean, that's the only thing that can be pulled from this. And, you know, this just reinforces me. The U.S. has to get out of this. We cannot be funding or even supplying weapons to this at all. Because the crime, the evil that's happening. And you know what, on Konstantinovka, we were early on this because of you. And we were saying it's been lost, and we got a lot of pushback on emails and comments. You're lying, you're working for Putin, all of that crap. So, you know, it's fascinating that now people are admitting that's what happened.
Yes. And I agree with your conclusions.
Thank you very much, Alex.
Thank you, Todd.
See you again soon. And really insightful analysis. Take care.
Bye.